Chazor Shem Sechs Bob Kalim Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph until Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav. The beginning of the Sechta listed the four Avos Nezikin, the four categories of damage for which one is chayv to pay if he causes. The first one was Odom Hamazik, which was caused directly by the person, and a person is always considered a Mord, which means that he's prone to damage, or in the case of a man, it means that he's totally responsible to look over himself, and therefore, if he does cause damage, he's got no excuses, and he'll have to pay for the full damage. He'll have to pay Nezik Sholem, which again means the full damage. Okay, the next category we had was Shur, which literally means ox. It means any damage caused by one's animal, and this category itself was split into three subcategories. Number one, Keren, which is goring, and this includes any damage which is done in an unusual way. Second category was Shein, which literally means tooth. It refers to the animal when he eats, meaning his damage is done through eating, or anything which the animal benefits from through the damage, that's included in this category. And the third subcategory of Shur is Regel, which refers to the animal walking, and also includes any common damage done by the animal, that comes under the category of regel. Now, because this is common, the animal, when it comes to regel, the animal is always considered a muad, which means it's prone to damage, because it's common, and therefore the owner has to expect that he's going to do damage, and therefore watch over it especially well. So if it does damage, he'll have to pay for the entire damage, nezek sholem. Okay, now the third category, the third of the Avos Nezikin, is Bur, which literally means pit and refers to any damage caused by someone digging or uncovering a pit or really putting anything in a Rosh Sarabim, in a public domain, which as soon as you put it there, it's prone to do damage because people will trip on it. That comes under the category of Bur. And finally, we have the category of Eish, which literally means fire, and this refers to any fire or anything really which comes from your domain and is carried by the wind out of your domain and does damage. That comes under the category of Eish. Okay, the Mishnah then elaborated on Shur, which is actually the primary focus out of all of the Avos Nezikin, out of all of these four categories. The one which is developed most is Shur. So when it came to Keren, which again means the animal goring or damaging in any unusual way, so how much does the owner have to pay if he does damage? So the answer is it depends. If it's a muad, meaning it gores regularly, then the owner needs to pay Nezek Sholim for the full damage. However, if it's a tam, if it doesn't gore regularly, then the owner doesn't have as much of a responsibility to watch over it, and therefore he only needs to pay Chatzi Nezek for half the damage. And the truth is, when it comes to a tam, the maximum the owner will have to pay is half the damage. But if the owner's animal which did the damage is worth less than half the damage, then that's all he needs to pay. He just gives him the animal or the value of the animal. Usually you would just take the animal, and the owner does not need to pay any more than that. Now, we mentioned before, if it's a common damage which comes under the category of regel, of the animal walking, then it's a muad immediately. But since keren refers to the damages which are unusual, so only if the animal does it three times, only then does it become a muad. And the Mishnah actually gives examples of what is considered this unusual damage, either goring, pushing, biting, or if it lies down on something, or if it kicks. All these things are unusual, and therefore only if the animal does it three times would the animal become a muad, and the owner would have to pay nezek sholem for the full damage. However, if it's a wild animal, for a wild animal it's not unusual to kick, and therefore already from the beginning it will be considered a muad. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, at least, if the wild animal is domesticated, let's say you train it to be calmer, then it has the same status as a normal domesticated animal, and it would only become a muad after three times. But even Rabbi Eliezer holds that a snake is a muad from the beginning, because it can never really be domesticated. It's intrinsically a wild animal, or not wild, but it's intrinsically a damaging animal, and therefore it's always a muad. And then the Mishnah briefly elaborated on Shein, which is the second subcategory of Shur. Again, what does Shein mean? Shein means eating, when the animal eats or benefits from that damage. So is that considered a tam or a muad? So the Mishnah told us that it depends. If it's its normal food, then it's a muad, because you've got to expect that it's going to go into another person's field, and if it's got his normal food in there, then he's going to eat it. The animal's going to eat it. But if it's not normal food, and it's not really edible for an animal, then it would be considered a tam, and the owner would only have to pay for half the damage caused. Now, because as we've seen, the damages and the halachas of all these different categories are totally different, so the Torah had to specifically mention all four categories. We couldn't learn one from the other, because they're all totally different, and in different ways are prone to do damage in totally different ways, and therefore you can't learn halachas from one category to the other. The first perek, actually, now, after it gave us this introduction of the four Avos Nezikin, four main categories of damage, it basically sort of gave us a contents page. It said lots of halachas, or not even halachas, we interpreted them as halachas, but it just said a few words, and the Masechta later on will elaborate on those. But for now, the first paragraph just gave us a list of lots of different halachas, which we'll elaborate on later on. So one of those was that if one compensates for the damage which he caused by giving the nizik, remember there's a mazik and a nizik. A mazik is the person who does damage, or whose property does damage. He's the one who's paying. The nizik is the person whose property was damaged. So if the mazik is giving the nizik, again, the person who's paying is giving the person who he damaged land in order to compensate for the damage instead of money, then he has to give him the best quality land. Then the Mishnah said that if one doesn't prevent the damage properly, this is really a fundamental rule for the Masechta. If you don't prevent the damage as you should, For example, you give your animal to a child or a deaf mute or something. In that case, you'll be hired to pay for the damages which are caused by the animal. Next, whoever performs the final thing, the final action which makes something into a damaging object, he's the one who's hired. The example we gave was if a pit is dug in a public domain, a halachic pit, as it were, one which will be chived to pay if someone falls in there and dies, has to be 10 tefachim deep. So if someone digs 9 tefachim and then someone else digs the last tefach, whoever digs that last tefach, he is the one who's chived to pay for the damages. Next, if the thing which was damaged belonged to Hekdash, meaning it was designated to the Beis Hamikdash's property, or it was owned by a non-Jew, or as Hefka, was ownerless at the time of damage, then you're potter to pay for that damage, even if someone else then takes that afterwards. Then the Mishnah said that if the damage occurred in the domain of the Mazik, who again is the damager, or whose property does the damage, so if the damage occurred in his property, then he's exempt, because that's his property. The person or thing who came into that property, it's his fault for coming into his property. And this is even if the nizik, the person who was damaged, or whose property was damaged, shares that property with the mazik. Since the mazik has rights over that property, he's not obligated to pay for damages done in his property. However, there's an exception. If the mazik himself does the damage, not his animal or his property, if he himself does the damage, then he'll be chayiv, because then he's fully responsible for his own actions. Okay, another sort of contents page point which we had was if two people do damage to each other's property, so we don't say, oh, we're both damaged, so let's forget about it all, no one needs to pay anyone, because one of the damages might have been more. So whoever damaged the other one more has to pay for that extra bit which he damaged over the other person's damage towards him. Okay, a couple more cases of this perek. If someone's owed money from someone who damaged him, but the person, the mazik, dies, and the nizik wants to collect his money, so the answer is he can collect it from the mazik, from the dead person's land, because he has right over that land since he was owed money by the nizik, sorry, by the mazik. The Mishnah then told us that all cases of damage, you can't just say, oh, I damaged you this amount, I'll pay you this amount. It all has to be done in Beis Din, and the Beis Din can't just be laymen, it has to be 3 proper dayonim, experts, and it also requires witnesses to say that the damage took place. And finally, all these laws of damages apply to both men and women. If a woman digs a pit, for example, she'll also be chayav to pay for the damages. If someone else damages her, they'll be chayav to pay. She has the same halachas as a man with regards to these damages. Okay, so Perek Beis really develops one of the parts of the contents page perek, should we call it. So we're going to develop the second main category of Nezikin, which was shur, caused by an animal. And perek base really totally, pretty much, focuses on when an animal is considered a mu'ad. When is it considered prone to do damage and a regular damager, so that the owner will have to pay nezek sholem, the full damage, as opposed to a tam, meaning an animal which is not a regular damager, in which case the owner would only have to pay chatzi nezek, which means half the damage which he caused. So the Mishnah went through there were 3 subcategories to shur. There was regel, shein, and keren. So the Mishnah went through each one and told us which one was mu'ad. So regel, which is the damage done through an animal walking. So if it happened in the nizik's domain, in the person's who was damaged in his domain, not the mazik's domain, in that case, the owner will have to pay for the full damage, since regel refers to all the common damages, like walking, and even if it's not through the walking itself. For example, if the animal was walking and it was carrying something, and that thing did the damage, or if the animal was walking and it was a hairy animal, and something got entangled in the hair, so that's all caused through the walking, and therefore, the owner will have to pay nezek sholem, because the animal is considered a mu'ad. Then we brought an interesting halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, which means a halacha which we've got a tradition from since the Torah was given, and that is that indirect damage, even if it's common, the owner only has to pay chatzi nezek, half the damage. For example, if there were stones flying from underneath where the animal treads, from underneath its feet, even though it might be a normal thing, the owner only has to pay chatzi nezek. Okay, then we went on to shein, which is when the animal eats or benefits through the damage. So again, this only applies if it's in the nizik's domain. However, we said even if it's not exactly in the nizik's domain, it could even be in a public domain, but where animals don't usually go. It's not in the middle of the street. It's on the side. So in that case, the owner will have to pay nezek sholem if it's normal food, but if it's clothes or objects, animals don't usually eat that, and therefore, the owner will only have to pay chatzi nezek. However, the Mishnah said, what happens if the animal does eat from the public domain? So he's exempt from paying for the damage caused. However, the animal ate, and therefore the owner benefited, because now the animal's full, which means the owner won't need to feed it supper tonight. So the owner benefited from that damage. So for that, he needs to pay the nizik, the value of the food which he would have fed the animal. Not the food which the animal ate, but what the owner usually gives the animal for supper, which could be much cheaper. However, he doesn't need to pay that amount. Okay, and then we went on to keren, when an animal gores. So when is an animal which gores considered a mu'ad? We had a machlokes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to gore on 3 different days. If it goes 3 separate days and gores on each one, then it becomes a mu'ad. And when does it become a tam again? The answer is if it goes 3 days without goring. Obviously, it would have opportunities to gore and it withholds itself from goring. In that case, the animal would become a tam once more. But according to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't have to be 3 separate days. It could just be 3 times, even if it's all on the same day. Already then it becomes a mu'ad, and Rimei was also more strict for it becoming a tam again. According to Rimei, it doesn't become a tam just by not goring. It has to actually actively show that it's calm. So it has to have that children are able to play with it and it still doesn't get angry or anything. Only then would it become a tam once more, since it's proved itself as a bit of a wild animal. Then the Mishnah brought a fascinating machlokas. Firstly, we said everyone agrees that if a tam, a non-regular gora, if it gores in a public domain, then it's not as bad as going into someone else's domain. Well, we're going to see about that. But if it's in a public domain, everyone agrees the owner only has to pay chatzi nezek, as the halach is always for a tam. But what happens if not only does the animal do damage and gores, but it has the chutzpah, as it were, to go into someone else's property and then do damage in their property? If a tam does damage in the nizik's property, what is the halacha? So according to Rabbi Tarfon, the owner now has to pay nezek sholem for the full damage, even though it's a tam. And his reason was because keren is more strict than shein and regel in a public domain. As we saw before, shein and regel, if the animal walks or eats and does damage there in a public domain, the owner's potter. He doesn't have to pay anything. But if the animal gores in a public domain, the owner has to pay for half the damage. So all the more so, if shein and regel require nezek sholem, full damage in the nizik's domain, all the more so keren, which even in the public domain requires some payment, all the more so in a private domain, should require a payment of nezek sholem. However, the Chachomim brought a very important rule of dayo labomin hadin liyos kanidoin. Again, dayo, it's known as dayo. This rule is known as dayo, for short, which means that when you make a kal v'chomer, you say all the more so, the halacha which you're learning can't be stricter than the halacha which you're learning it from. And what halacha are we learning it from? We're learning from the fact that keren, you have to pay half the damage in the public domain. So Rabbi Tarfon said, oh, we see from there that in a private domain, you have to pay for the full damage. The Chachom say, hang on, you can't go all the way up. You can only say that just like in a public domain, it's chatzin nezek, so too in a private domain, in the nizik's property, it's chatzin nezek, but not more than that. You can't prove from a kal v'chomer more than the place where you're learning it from. And therefore, according to the Chachomim, it would only be chatzin nezek even in the nizik's property. And the perek ended off by telling us about Odom Hamazik, which was the first category of Avos Nezikim, when the person himself does the damage directly. When does he become a muad? I won't say this, he's really always a muad, because he's totally responsible for his actions, and therefore, any time where he could have avoided the damage, yet didn't, he's considered a muad and will have to pay nezek sholem. The first few Mishnayos of Perek Gimel discussed the third category of Avos Nezikim, which is bur, when one digs a pit in the public domain, which we said included putting any obstacle in a public domain which will cause people to tread as soon as you put it there. So first we had machlokes. According to the Chachamim, if you put a jug down in a public domain, that's considered an obstacle. And therefore, if it then breaks, let's say the wind knocks it down or something, and then someone comes and slips on it, or he gets injured from the shards, so the owner is chayav to pay for the injury. Even, in fact, if the victim was the person who broke it, if the victim came along and broke the jug and got injured from the jug, the victim doesn't have to pay anything. The person who put the jug there has to pay because he caused the damage. However, according to Yehuda, if the breakage was out of the owner's control, the jug can't really cause any damage if it's not broken. So the breakage is the thing which does the damage. So if that was out of the owner's control, then he's potter as long as the owner didn't want to take it back. He just put the jug there, made it hefka. He said, I don't want this anymore. To make something which you put in a public domain, which caused damage, to make that hefka, usually that doesn't work. However, if the damage was out of your control, then according to Yehuda, if you say it's hefka, then you no longer own it, so you no longer have to pay for the damage. And brought other examples of obstacles. If you put water out and people slip, or if you put thorns or glass out in the street, then you're chayev. If your fence falls down into a public domain, and you have time to take it back and remove it, yet you don't, then you're chayiv if damage is caused. If you put out your straw into a public domain in order to make it become fertilizer, and in fact, as a punishment, we say that anyone, first come, first serve, anyone can just come and take the straw and keep it for themselves. And according to Mishum and Gamliel, even during a time of the year where people normally put out fertilizer, and therefore you're also allowed to, because it's a normal thing to do, even then, if it does end up causing damage, then you're chayiv to pay. Then we had a case where someone lifts up dung from the public domain. That dung is hefka. But if you lift it up, that means you've made a kinyan, you've acquired it. So if you then put it back down, then you become chayiv for any injuries caused because of it, because it's now yours. Okay, then the perek went on to discuss another category. We're jumping around a bit. We went to discuss Odom Hamazik, which is when a person causes damage directly, and specifically if it's done in a public domain. Sort of if you become the obstacle yourself. So if you fall down in the public domain and you cause someone else to trip on you, then if you did have time to get up after you tripped, then it's your fault for staying down too long, and therefore you're chayev. Then we had a case where someone's carrying a beam and someone's carrying a jug, and they collide and the beam breaks the jug. So the person carrying the beam is potter, because who is carrying the fragile thing? The jug carrier. So he's the one who should look out and make sure he avoids the collision. So it's really his fault for colliding, and therefore the person carrying the beam will be exempt from paying. Then we had different cases where, for example, if one is behind the other, let's say the one carrying the beam is behind the one carrying the jug, or vice versa, so whoever's at the back is the one who's responsible for colliding, because you're not going to walk into someone, you know, keep a distance a bit to make sure you don't walk into him. However, if the person in the front suddenly stops, then it's his fault, and then he'll be chayv to pay for the damage. And then lastly, we had a Mishnah which said that if two people are approaching each other from different directions and they injure each other, if it's by mistake, then they're potter. If they're both both walking or if they're both running. But if one is walking and one is running, then the person running will be chayav because he's not allowed to. However, beautiful, if he's running on Erev Shabbos, in order to prepare for Shabbos, then it's a mitzvah. And therefore it's mutter to run, and therefore he's no more chayav than the person walking, and therefore they're both potter to pay for each other's damages.